Matthew.
To the church of the people of Poynton in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you call us to follow you. We thank you that you call us to turn to you and in you to find life and hope. And that you do so not just calling us as individuals, but together as your people. Amen. While our television screens are full of competitive programs where contestants show off their skills and talents, from Bake Off and MasterChef to my new guilty favourite, The Sewing Bee. No, really, genuinely. In each of these, there's an element of seeing ordinary-looking materials and ingredients made into something beautiful or tasty or both, although you can't eat what they make on Sewing Bee. The contestants use their skills to look at what is before them and to see what it is that they can become. Often it's something simple that is done well that wins praise from the judges, or the ability to see an item or an ingredient's potential that brings success. Today we're thinking about vision. We're looking ahead to what it is that God has called us to be and to do in this next chapter of our life together as a church. Now, I've been in post since last July, and whilst I've had some great conversations with people about what the future might be like, the more consultative, prayerful sharing and discussion, the seeking God together, has been hampered by COVID restrictions. I'd love to be this morning outlining exciting plans and projects for our life together and reaching out to those around us, those who don't yet know God's love for them. But we aren't at that point yet. At the PCC, we've begun to look at the questions, who are we? Whom are we here to serve? And in the coming days and weeks, those conversations and those looking further ahead will be taking place, both within our PCC, other smaller groups, and as a staff team. Looking forward together means looking for God's help. And as we do so, we look back to God's past faithfulness, to the secure footing of the good news of the gospel, and know that he may be calling us to change our focus and our priorities whilst remaining true to what we know of him and his good news as we face together a new situation. So as we think together this week and next week, I'm not going to be laying out a roadmap for the next 5 years, but I'm going to be placing some markers. A little bit like when you see the preparations for roadworks. You see the spray paint lines and symbols on the road to let others know where the focus of this work is to be. Like the contestants on Bake Off or the Sewing Bee, we're going to look at what we have, what God's Word encourages us to do, and seeing our potential. Our three themes come from verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, faith, hope, and love. And if you're in church, you can open one of the red Bibles, and it's on page 1186. We're going to look briefly at this passage together before we think about our own life as a parish. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This opening of this letter is a declaration of the authors and the recipients. That is to say that this is not some abstract ideal about Christian living. This letter is from real people to real people in real situations. This is not just about ideas. This is about real life, day-to-day living. And we read that every time Paul and his friends pray, they are thankful for the Christian life and witness of the church in Thessalonica. They have in their minds, as they pray, the faces and names of members of the church that they know. And they're praying for them with thankfulness. at this opening prayer, we see the way in which God is at work in them and through them. They have received the good news of the gospel, not only in word, but with power and with the example of the gospel heralds. Their faith in God is famous. They have a reputation. They are a model church. That's not to say that they were perfect people, but that God was at work in them and they were faithful to him, to his ways and his message in a hostile culture. Look down at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It amazes me that there is still an impression that following Jesus could result in an easy sailing through life and no conflict with the world around us. From the earliest days of the church, there has been significant difference between those who seek to follow God in their lives and those who deny his existence, those who try and create another God in their own image, or who willfully seek to only allow God into a small part of their lives. For those in South Thessalonica and for us today, Christian faith is not simply about knowing the right things, a checklist of belief. Rather, it transforms whole lives. We can read in verse 7, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." This group of believers were an inspiration to those around them and in the whole region. They themselves report what kind of reception you gave us, we read on. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. These believers had turned away from what was wrong and what led to death and have turned to Christ. And in their following of him, they find purpose and hope and life for the future. So how might we be those who are known for our faith, hope, and love? Let's focus in on verse 3. We skipped over it. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope. What are these expressions pointing us towards? How does this speak to us of the Thessalonians' living faith? And what does it mean in our own following of God together? Well, work produced by faith. This isn't saying that the church earns God's approval or acceptance, but that living faith is active. This could be ministry within the body of the church, teaching and encouraging. It could be good works in the wider community. The important point is that this faith is not solely an intellectual exercise. If you have faith in Jesus, if you believe and trust in him, your actions, your motivations will be challenged and transformed. Sisters and brothers, God loves us as we are. God loves us as we are. But he calls us to become more and more like Jesus. And the closer we become to that, the more we find our own lives challenged and changed. Labor prompted by love. Seeing and knowing the love of God has, for them, brought the Thessalonians to a place where they, in reply, act for the good of others. This labor speaks probably of self-sacrificial service of others, both within and outside the Christian community. In short, these Christians are known for working to improve the lives of others. They are deeply involved in the life of their community. And then endurance inspired by hope. Don Carson writes, "Endurance becomes the ability to remain steadfast and persevere in the face of suffering or temptation. These believers had a firm hope in Jesus' return and reign. So whatever it looked like day by day for them, whatever opposition they faced, they refused to disown the truth of Jesus. They were faithful to God's ways. As Jesus says in Luke 21:19, stand firm." I want to tell you about a conversation between two camels, so you're going to need your imagination. A little camel wanders over to its mother and asks, "Mummy, why have I got such big flat feet?" "My darling, that is so that you can easily walk across the sand." After a little while, lots of questions obviously forming in the child's head. "Why are my eyelashes so big?" Fluttering her own eyelashes, the mother answers, "The desert is a sandy place, dusty, and the wind swirls lots of sand and dust through the air, so our eyelashes protect our eyes." A little while longer, and the young camel approaches its mother for a third time. "I understand about my feet and my eyelashes, but why do I have a hump?" The mother sighed, asked the questions numerous times before. "It is so that we can store enough water to survive. The desert isn't filled with streams and lakes. We can be away from water for days and days on end." The young camel paused and then said, "Okay, I understand about my feet, my eyelashes, my hump. But why are we in Chester Zoo?" We are those who have a wonderful story of rescue and hope, the good news of Jesus Christ. We are not in the wrong place. We are not camels trapped in a zoo enclosure. God has given us gifts to encourage each other and to offer hope to the world and show love and compassion to those in need. He's placed us where he has placed us. He's called us to be together. The reason I'm here and the reason you are here is to be part of this church family. And together, it is to see God's kingdom grow. That will be growth in faith as we encourage each other and pray for more of God's Spirit to be at work as we gather around his word and his table. Growth in hope as we see people discover for themselves the good news of the gospel. Growth in love as we see those who are in need and respond, inspired by God's love first for us. I know it is so easy to think about what happens within these walls. And I passionately believe that our gathering to worship God together, to gather around his word and his table, are vital for our life together. But we are called to be followers of God in the whole of our lives, not just an hour on Sunday and maybe at home group if we're really keen. So to those who gather on a Sunday morning and evening at St. George's, to those who gather at midweek communion services at St. George's and St. Martin's, to those who meet as Pathfinders and Pulse, and to those who are in children's groups even this morning, to those who meet on Zoom for home group, to those who take time to phone and to pray for each other, to our church, will you join in with asking for the Lord's direction that we might be those who grow in faith and hope and love? We're called not to be, in James K.A. Smith's phrase, just thinking things, but to be living out in our habits and actions our devotion to God. So as I draw to the close, a few questions for us to think about. in your Christian journey, how have you grown in faith? What are we called to do to help each other to develop the habits and practices of living faith? How do we gather, worship, discuss in ways that will encourage fruitful discipleship? Where do we need to change so that we will see people of all ages developing their God-given gifts for his kingdom? In your Christian journey, how have you grown in hope? How can our life together be a sign and an invitation to come to living faith? How can we learn to be good news people in our homes, our offices, our schools, and with our friends? How can we proclaim the call to follow Jesus afresh in this generation? In your Christian journey, how have you grown in love? What are the actions that make a difference in our world and in individuals' lives? Where are the needs in our community? Where do we need to repent of our selfishness and concern for our own needs? Sisters and brothers in Christ, we are asking God to shape us so that we would become a growing all-age community of faith, hope, and love. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have called us to follow you. We thank you that we find in you life and truth. So by your Spirit, would you shape us to be your people in this place and at this time? People of all ages who gather together to be a community of faith, hope, and love, who will see signs of the kingdom growing as many discover new life and hope in you. Inspire us, encourage us, challenge us, that we may do all things for your glory and for your renown. Amen.